It's a new edition of Game Misconduct. Hey, I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
Don't forget to follow us on all social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. We're going to do things a little differently this week on the show. We're going to jump right into our guest coming up, but we're also going to recap the week that was. But Dory, do you want to intro our guest this week?
Yes. This is really, really excited for us. It's exciting. We know for our followers on Twitter who are very excited about it. We are just over the moon to have everybody's favorite anthem singer, U.S. Air Force retired Sonia Bryson Kirksey. Miss Sonia, we are so pleased to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me. You guys are awesome.
Aw, thank you.
I'm so excited. I have chills. I love you.
Now, but that's a great point because I saw one of your tweets earlier in the week where you said you were at the DMV. You're just at the DMV. And people were like, oh, are you who we think you are? I mean, how amazing is it that everywhere you go now, you are a bona fide celebrity?
It's pretty funny, actually. I mean, if you ever met me, if you ever got close enough to me, you know I'm just a plain old kid. So this is kind of, you know, new and unexpected and also pretty cool, too. You know, I enjoy what I do, and I definitely love Lightning fans. I talked to a gentleman the other day, and I spoke to him about that, and he said, it's not just Lightning fans, it's your fans, too. So I really appreciate that. It's a really heartfelt sentiment on that.
Yeah, you really do feel like you're part of, I mean, you're probably the most beloved person who doesn't actually suit up and play for the Lightning. I mean, people just love you. And, you know, I was thinking that the first time you sang the anthem, it was December 2013, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. And you were still in the Air Force. You were active duty. Stationed at MacDill, as everyone knows. Congratulations on your retirement. I know it's been a couple years, but this is the first time we've got to talk to you. How did you first get started singing for the Lightning?
Well, on most Air Force bases, protocol holds a list of base singers. So basically for events on the base and a lot of different other things that happen on military installations. So you have like, sometimes your commanders will have a change of command ceremony. There'll be retirement ceremonies, and they have singers for each one of those. So my name came up to do the military appreciation night down at the Ray Stadium. So I went down and did that, and someone was there that was attached to the Lightning who heard me. And she was trying to get in touch with me to find out how to get in touch with me. In the meantime, I sang for a USO event downtown. They gave me tickets to the Bucks game the following day, and I met the production gentleman over the pregame production, who is John Franzone. I met him in one of the suites at the Bucks game, and my command chief from the base was there, and he was pretty much making my case, telling him how great I was. And he asked me to come in for an audition. Well, the audition wasn't quite an audition. He had me come in. We went upstairs to the crow's nest where the organist sits, and we worked out my key. And I went over it a couple of times, and I'm looking for people, you know, because I'm thinking this is going to be an audition. It's going to be people, and it's going to be fun. And I'm looking around, and he goes, what's wrong? I said, well, I thought there was going to be other people. And he said, well, no, it's just you. Can you sing Saturday? Wow. I didn't know that's how that worked, but they had some kind of hope in that I would do well. So, and that kind of is the story
of how that happened. It's amazing. Now, I have a theory, and I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but is it true that while you were active duty, you did not sing O Canada?
That's true, and that's part of being in the military. For American military, while you're active duty, you are not allowed to perform another nation's anthem in uniform. And so, yeah, I could not do it. I can do it now if I wanted to. However, Mr. Vinnick does not like for me to do so.
I wonder, you know, my 12-year-old daughter, I was telling her yesterday who we were going to have this week, and she went, oh, do you mean Miss Sonia that sings the national anthem? And I said, yeah. And I go, can you name anybody on the team? And she goes, no, but I can name Miss Sonia. And I was like, well, if you could ask her anything, what would it be? And she wanted to know, can you sing O Canada Now? Because she is one of the ones like, no, Mom, she was a U.S. service member. She can't sing it. And I was like, oh, is she right about this? And I was Googling. I'm like, there's no way a 12-year-old knows more than I do. But apparently she did. So, yeah, that was her question. She wanted to know if you were allowed to sing it now.
Now I can. Like I said, I can because I'm retired. Mm-hmm. I'm a private citizen. Yes, I can sing it now. But like I said, it's just not in the cards for me for the Lightning.
So I've got a question because... Mm-hmm. I may or may not have sung the national anthem in high school, not to your level, but and I may or may not have auditioned for a couple, you know, national sports teams to do it as well. But how do you deal with the reverb? Because it can really get people. Because I don't think you have in ear monitors like all the professional singers do, but yet you still deliver spot on every time. So, like, how do you prepare for the echo that just bounces off the walls in that arena?
Well, it's not that bad in that arena if you think about it. If you sit and listen to things, the only thing that I think bounces is when they're speaking from the box up top. That's the only thing to me that reverbs, but everything else is pretty clear. The only place that really has a reverb, as far as I'm concerned, is the Raymond James. And for that, all you do is you just sing straight through. If you can train your brain, really, just to sing it like you normally do at your own cadence, that's why it's good to keep a cadence.
Right.
And then you can just sing it through and not even listen to what is happening after you, you know, with the reverb.
So, and how did you come about, because everybody has their own style. I'm personally a fan of the traditional, like we don't need too many vocal runs and we just need to keep it straightforward, keep the tempo going. Like, how did you come to your style singing the national anthem?
From being in the military.
Yeah.
They don't allow that. I remember when I first, the very first time I sang it, and it was at a training conference we had gone to, and someone just asked me out of the blue. And the first thing they asked me was, how do you sing it? And I said, how it's written. And they were fine with that. So I've been singing it the same way for many, many years now.
I love your, I really do. I just think it's perfect. I think it is strong. And just complete, it's just perfect. I just think it's, I do. I just think, I don't know how you can hold those notes. I can't sing. I don't even try. And I'm like, it's just, it always
and
sounds.
And it's one of the hardest songs in the world to sing,
you're
in my opinion.
You're never off key. You're it's just always practice. Perfect.
Yeah. It's a lot of practice. It may not seem like, because I'm a busy person, but it may not seem like I get a lot of practice, but that's what cars are made for. That's what showers are made for. That's what, you know, my free time that I'm alone, or sometimes when I'm sitting doing my crochet, because I crochet while I'm watching hockey. So when I'm at home, that is. So I sing then, you know, and you just have to keep your vocal cords warmed up. And I'm a talker. So when I wake up in the morning, you know, I'm the morning person that won't shut up. So I'm that person. So that's why my vocal cords are pretty much always good.
We are talking to U.S. Air Force retired Sonia Bryson Kirksey, as everybody knows her, the favorite anthem singer.
So have you ever forgotten the words or messed up a line?
I have not. I have had an issue with the microphone before where it cut out on me, and that has been at an actual hockey game. I want to say it was maybe a playoffs game, but it came right back in. It was like a 3 or 4 second, you know, dead where everything went dead with the microphone. Ooh. But it came right back in, so it wasn't a bad thing. So, but it wasn't that bad. And no, I don't forget because I practice. So
right. And if something like that happens, a technical glitch, you just keep on singing and hope that microphone turns right back on, right?
Absolutely. You don't stop. You keep on going.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the stuff that you do in the community. Even though you are retired, you're still very, very active, member of our Tampa Bay community. Let's go over some that you're very big into literacy. I am as well. I love a book. I love a good book. I know everybody loves their Kindles, and that's just fine, but I have to hold a physical book in my hand.
I'm a hardcover kind of kid, too.
Yeah.
Can you talk about some of the literacy advocacy you do?
Well, I feel like that with little people, we don't take enough time. I feel like, you know, back in the day when I was little, we had many parents, if I can use that, many people who were around us who saw to us. So if we were at aftercare, after school care, or whatever else we were attending, we had some type of literacy going on, whether it was reading poetry, whether it was someone reading to us. And nowadays, you don't have a lot of that. So what I like to do is to go into schools, elementary schools, and read to K through second grade, because sometimes those kids don't have people at home to read to them other than their school teachers. You know, they don't really have that time. So I really like to take time and go out and do that every so often. I don't do it every day. I don't even do it every month, but I try to make time about maybe 5 or 6 times a year to go out to, you know, some of these elementary schools and read to some kids.
What is the reaction these kids give you when they hear somebody taking the time out of their, you know, spending time like that with them?
Well, first of all, some of them, as little as that sounds, are little hockey fans and they know who I am. And some of them don't. They just are happy to see, you know, people coming in and spending time with them. And you get a lot of mixed, you know, reactions. I had recently at Lithia Springs, I believe it was, elementary school, there's a little kid, and I can't remember his name, but, you know, I was kind of brief before that he was a little active. but once we started reading the story, and I kind of get into it, I talk to them, I give them, you know, a little bit of, I interject some of my thoughts into that, and I ask them questions, and he was perfect throughout the whole entire reading. So I love that when someone's reading to you, that it kind of pulls you into that story. It pulls you into that time and space of what you're hearing.
Is there a go-to book that you always turn to when you go into these situations to read?
No, not specifically. I try to give that to the administrators to pick out books for me. Mm-hmm. But my kids, when they were growing up, loved Miss Nelson Is Missing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you the reason for that is because I was married before and my last name was Nelson. So when we read that story, my kids would just crack up laughing. That was one of their favorites.
I got to read to my kids when they were like in third grade in elementary school, and I went in and it was Seuss Day, and I got to read and I got to pick out any, and I love Dr. Seuss, and I mm-hmm. picked out The Places You'll Go, and
oh, yeah.
I don't know why I got so emotional. I was like,
you started to cry?
I was crying. And I own the book. I've had it since I was 4 years old. It's this, mm-hmm. and I brought it and I was reading, and the 12-year-old that happened to know that you are not allowed to sing O Canada, she goes, oh no, my mom's crying over Seuss in front of my whole class. And it was just so emotional when you really get into it and their little eyes light up to have somebody that's not a teacher or not their mom or, you know, their dad, somebody else come and read to them, I think really does kind of touch a nerve with them a little.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it shows them, you know, that other people other than their teachers and their parents care about them. You
yeah.
know, people in the community care about, you know, what they're listening to, what they're hearing, and what they're learning. So I think that's an awesome thing to kind of interject when you can do it, you know, and anybody can do that. It's not just me. I mean, nowadays it's kind of hard to get into schools, of
right.
course, because of safety reasons. But if you know somebody who can get you in, you know, that would be a good thing to do.
And the other thing you do in schools is you're also involved with ROTC classes, yes?
I am. Absolutely. Because of my military background, I like to touch base with at least 2 or 3 ROTC classes in a year. And I go and I basically listen to what they're doing in the community, because they're also doing things in the community where their school is, or, you know, close by. They do little activities. So I listen to the things that they're doing. I try to be involved as much as I can. And I'll get up and talk to them about my little, you know, time in the military, and then how I got to be where I am today. You know, what things I had to do, what kinds of leadership values I had to employ, and all those type of things.
Can you briefly explain what the ROTC program does? Because I'm not sure, as crazy as this sounds, I don't know if there's a lot of people that really understand what a wonderful program that this is for kids.
Okay, ROTC basically teaches, honestly, it to the basics, it teaches your child leadership skills. It teaches them how to be in an environment where they're accountable and that they have responsibilities. So even though it has the end result of helping them get into the military, but it also teaches all these core values that any military person will get once they go into basic training. It's just like an early introduction to that lifestyle. But it also, in a person that is never going to go into the military, say someone who you know, chooses to go into college instead, you're going to have those core values instilled in you of being on time, of doing things right the first time, of taking your time and studying and, you know, being the best person that you possibly can be. They wear uniforms just like a military, that the military does, but they're accountable. I think that's one of the bigger goals of ROTC, is to hold their students accountable for the different things that they do, you know, for whatever responsibilities they have. And I think that's an awesome thing in today's society.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think we have, we need more.
We need more of that, kids, today. I mean, come on. No, I'm kidding.
So let's talk about your foundation. Because you, well, I don't want to, I would like you to explain everything without me kind of trying to, you know, get it all muddled up or anything.
Right. I gotcha. Well, what happened was I started a foundation on Veterans Day of 2016, Voices of Hope Foundation. However, at the end of my contract with the organization that was running my foundation, we decided to step outside of that and to do things on our own. Now, it's a little different, because a lot of times with foundations, you'll have people that run foundations, but then sometimes you'll have the people whose foundation it is that run their own. And that's where I'm trying to get to. So having to subtract myself from that organization, I'm having to rebuild my organization now. So just to let people know, I'm still doing all the things that I've always done in the community as far as helping people with MS. However, I'm kind of doing it alone right now until I can get my foundation back on track and set up the way it should be set up.
Can you give us a little bit more background for those who may not be familiar with the Voices of Hope Foundation about what you do and what you, I know you mentioned it briefly, but advocate for?
Absolutely. I was diagnosed with MS back in the early January, February time frame of 2015, right before I retired from the military. Yeah. I got that diagnosis. So my MS kind of shook me. And because it shook me, I knew that there were other people out there that were experiencing some of the same things that I was, questions, wanting to know what it's going to be like 5 years from now, medication, therapies, all that stuff that I was asking. I wanted to be able to help other people with that. And what took me over the crust, I guess, or over the little cliff, as someone would say, is I met a lady at a support group who told me that she, instead of paying her light bill for the month, she purchased her medication. And so she was in the dark for an entire month. And I'm sorry, it kind of brings tears to my eyes.
Oh, no, we're in here fanning ourselves as we are welled up with tears.
So she put her, she went to get ice every single day, and she put her medication in a little chest, one of the little ones that you can get from, like, you know, CVS or whatever. Mm-hmm. She put her meds in there, and she had her meds for the entire month, but she had no lights, no electricity. And that broke my heart.
Yeah.
So I knew that that was my niche. That was where I needed to go and help people. And I still keep in touch with her, and we still, you know, ensure that things are being taken care of for that one individual. I won't name her because she wouldn't want me to, but
yeah.
those are the things that you have to do something about. You have to help and make people, make our community better, you know, not just for that person's sake, but for the whole community's sake. There's people out there for every different issue and disease that you can think about who are living that way. So we have to find these people and, you know, and make sure that they're being taken care of. That's what being blessed is part of, is, you know, when you're blessed, you bless other people.
The one thing that I have heard from people who have been diagnosed with MS is, I knew something was wrong and nobody would listen to me. The doctors wouldn't listen. I knew something. I was I would fall. I would lose my balance and my voice. I would, but nobody would listen to me. How is there? Is there an? I don't know if it's an organization or a center or a specialist that somebody you know, or is it just something that you just have to keep going until somebody believes you?
Yeah, that, and imagine that 10 times, you know, fold, because being in the military, you know, you're going to the doctor for different things, but at the end of the day, they're trying to get you back to service, back to what you're doing. So a lot of that, you know, glazing over an issue, you know, it kind of happens, and nothing to say bad things about the military,
right?
Because we're there to serve a purpose.
Right.
And so that happened to me. You know, my doctors that I had, a couple of them, you know, they kind of were iffy as far as my symptoms were concerned. And we kind of glazed over things. And I did it too, because I thought it was just one of those things, you know, one time occurrence and, oh, it's going to be, you know, over, you know, whatever. But when things kept coming back for me, I had phantom fevers. I had fevers that would come on, you know, out of the blue and would last for 3 or 4 days. And then they would leave just as fast as they came. I had issues with pain in my joints, you know, all over my body and my muscles and stuff. And there are days where when I got up out of the bed, I could barely walk. And so there were issues that were in front of us, but we couldn't figure out what the deal was. So after, you know, appointment after appointment after relentless appointment, we finally figured it out. And my doctor sent me to a neurologist who then did a spinal tap, which is the hallmark of MS. When you get the spinal tap done, they can see the markers in your blood or in your spinal fluid.
Wow. I just, every time I hear about somebody who said, you know, the struggle of just people listening and just trying to get diagnosed is.
Because they're still learning so much about MS. Mm-hmm. And so, you know.
How are you?
We're educating ourselves kind of at the same time the doctors are.
And how are you feeling? How are you feeling these days?
I'm doing pretty good. I'll admit, I was struggling. You know, I come from a family, and of course, you know, being in the military during my younger years, I've learned to keep moving regardless of what's going on. So there was a point when I had to actually slow down in order to take care of myself, because, you know, I know that, you know, regardless of what's going on with me, people counted on me. So now that I'm retired, it's like a breath of fresh air, because I get to, you know, listen to my body. I get to see what it is that I need to do for me today. And it's different every day. It's not something that, you know, once you throw some medication at it, it's going to be great all the time. You know, we're always working on that great pairing of medications and other therapies that can help you through your day.
Well, Sonia, we're going to take a quick break, and we are going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit about the team, because, you know, you're a rabid Lightning fan, so we want to get your thoughts on what you're seeing this season on the ice. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Game Misconduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. We are talking to U.S. Air Force retired Sonia Bryson. Kirksey, as I
choke on.
choking on water as I'm trying to speak. We are just so glad that you joined us. And can you tell everybody where they can follow you on Twitter if they're not already?
My handle on Twitter is Sunny Sings, S-O-N-N-I-S-I-N-G-S, Sunny Sings.
There's a lot of N's and I's.
Yeah.
So let's talk hockey with you, because you are a huge Lightning fan. Were you always a hockey fan, or did you kind of become a Tampa Bay Lightning fan when you got stationed at MacDill?
Let me tell you, the Lightning has messed me up. I had no idea about hockey other than, you know, the only thing I knew about hockey was Wayne Gretzky.
Okay.
That was
okay.
The only person I had ever heard about hockey. And I had not pursued it all, because my family is mad football people.
Mm.
So we grew up football. We know everything football. So when I started singing for them, I was like, this is so cool, you know, and I would stay for the games, the ones that I could. and learned a little bit here and there. I stopped calling the periods quarters, and I learned lots of things. And it's been amazing transformation. I have turned into the biggest hockey fan, I think, on the planet, at least in my neighborhood. I love my Lightning. I love watching other teams too now, because I know who's coming for us, you know, so it's one of those things. I love it.
And we always say, you know, if you've never been to a game, just come to one hockey game and you will be a hockey fan, whether it's a Lightning fan or whatnot. You just get your butt to a game and you're going to be hooked.
My husband and I, since we have been going to hockey games, we have started doing this, I don't know if you call it advocacy for hockey, but we bring couples who have never been to hockey games. So that my hope is that they'll fall in love with the game and they'll continue to either come or support the Tampa Bay Lightning or the hockey club of their choice. And it's worked out really good. Everybody we've brought, they're like, we love this. We can't wait to come back. This is awesome. They can fight. That's so good.
Well, I love that you and your husband are bringing like ambassadors for the Lightning and hockey. We have an idea of how you're going to answer this one. What do you think of the Lightning so far this season?
They're amazing. You know, I've always felt that they can go to the very top. However, you know, the mix is important. And I think that this year we have the exact right mix. Because line after line after relentless line, we have amazing people. And it's so deep in talent that I'm just amazed every time. Even those times I'm worried about whether they're going to win or not, they pull it off. And it just amazes me from day to day.
Do you have a favorite player?
Are you allowed to tell us?
I have several favorite players. I'm going to tell you this story about Matthew Joseph. I didn't know him from the wall next to me, but I was in the cargo elevator with him one evening. He wasn't on the roster. And I met him and I told him I was so proud of him. One, because he's so young and to be so young and so into whatever it is that you're pursuing, especially on that level, is just amazing to me. My kids weren't like that. You know, they weren't pursuing anything on that level at that age. And I told him I was proud of him. And if he ever needed a Tampa mom, I was going to be it.
So,
he said, yes, that's fine. Cause he's like in between my kids' ages. So I love him to death. But then I also love Cooch and I love Vassie. I love Hedman. Hedman is one of my favorites too. He's really cool. We call anybody that comes around that has great hair, we say they have Hedman hair.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes. I'm waiting for him to have a hair endorsement of some kind because he could sell shampoo.
So, like shampoo, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Now, you do have a lot of, I've noticed, you don't have like one Lightning jersey. You have several. How many Lightning jerseys do you actually own?
Probably too many, but yes, quite a bit of them. And the only one, honestly, that I think we don't, well, between the two of us, me and my husband, is the green jersey, which we're getting this week.
Do you like the new third jerseys?
Yes, I love the black. Yeah. Disrupt the Night is amazing. And that's such a grand tagline, you know, so you can just use that to the death, you know, it's awesome.
So, all right, so... I mean, do we want to give us a prediction for the rest of the season? We're kind of superstitious around here, so I'm going to plug my ears.
Yeah,
but...
no predictions whatsoever.
No.
That's how we roll.
She won't even, Sonia, she won't even let me say the P word.
Nope.
Until they clinch.
We haven't clinched anything yet.
I can't even say it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't say the P word. Don't say the cup word, the name of it, all of that. Yeah, just let the balls fall where they may, you know, or the pucks fall where they may.
Do you have any superstitions before a game or maybe before you go out and sing?
I'm pretty pumped by the time it's time for me to come out there. Like when you see Thunderbug go off the ice and the refs go out and then we are getting ready to come into the tunnel. By the time I get to the tunnel, I am pumped. I'm ready to go. So typically people always ask me, do you hear how much they cheer for you when you go out there? And honestly, I do not hear it because I am so focused. I'm like hyper-focused at that point. And when you see me looking in a certain direction, I am just hyper-focused on one spot and I sing my song and I go.
Well, Miss Sonia Bryson, we are honored to have you on the show, and you are an advocate for the people in our community. You're an advocate for the military. You are an amazing singer, and I feel like we have every chance to win every game every time you step on that ice and sing the national anthem. So thank you so much for everything you do for the community and for us Tampa Bay Lightning fans.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. You guys have been amazing. I love being able to talk freely about the things that I'm involved in, and you guys have made it a great visit. Thank you so much.
Such a pleasure speaking with her.
I know. I was shaking.
I was kind of geeking out.
I was too. No, she's an amazing person, and she really
She's retired? Sounds like she's busier than ever.
I know, and you know, she really is that person that...
You want her to be?
Yeah. Well, you associate her with the Tampa Bay Lightning so closely because 2013.
Yeah.
December 2013. I mean, so that was, you know, five and a half years.
Fast math. I'm really bad at
fast math.
Five.
I mean, this
so
December,
years.
But it's, yeah. you know, she just feels like she's part of the team. She really does. And when she walks out, when they put that camera on her at that arena, that place goes crazy.
Yeah. No, it's quite a sight. And you said she was ranked, what was it?
Well, I was like just out of curiosity, like where, you know, I hope other people are loving our, you know, Miss Sonia Bryson Kirksey as much as we do.
Right.
And yeah, everywhere I looked, she's pretty much, she ranked, rated, whatever you call it, like top eight anthem singers in the NHL.
I'd say top two.
Well, you know what? I'll be honest with you. Like, you're going to have... the people that have been doing it, like Rene Rancourt, and I'm not saying taking anything away from him, but, you know, he's been singing in Boston for, you know what I mean, for such a long time, or Jim Corneliuson in Chicago, and I think it's Karen Hartman or something like that in Detroit. I mean, these people have been around for so long. I think sometimes people are just like in their head.
Right.
It's like, no, they're the best, even though maybe they're not, and I'm not saying those three aren't good. I'm not. I'm just saying, like, you know, If you were to put a recording up of Miss Sonia singing and then some of these other, I think that, you know.
She's
It's so beautiful.
It is.
It's so well done and classy
well done.
And just boom, that's it. She's not trying to, she doesn't need to make it fancy.
Nope, just quick to the point, national anthem, classic, love it. All right, so let's talk about the, the franchise record.
Which one? I know. I mean,
we reached it, you know, in the overtime win against New York, in New York, which...
I know. The OT games were really kind of making me... And you know what? I feel my fault. Because remember what I said about the Buffalo game? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to stop talking because I said...
Why are you making your voice sound like that?
Because I feel like it's my fault. I did it again. I said, well, I'm watching the Buffalo game and I'm thinking, oh, you know, these guys can't lose.
Oh, yeah.
And then you looked at me like, shut
your
up.
Mouth.
And then like, I'm like, oh.
Well, you know, they still count. The OT games still count.
They do count.
But
they do count.
I was a little not disappointed. I don't know. We were up, and then we were tied, and I wanted to rip my hair out watching that, that
and
game.
I'm glad that they can come back, because I think that's important.
Absolutely.
Coming out of deficit, you know, you have to be able to do that, but even in the post game, you feel these guys are getting like, look, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Why are we doing
We're better than this.
Yeah.
We know better than to let that happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they do, you know. And you know, we talked about the franchise win streak. Louis Domingue and Andre Vasilevsky are also like the first time since some, I don't know, Pelly Lindbergh, I want to say, for the good old Flyers days.
Flyers?
Yeah, back in the 70s that are like, have won 10 straight or something crazy like this. I mean,
What? Spit it out, woman.
I'm going to be so irritated.
Okay.
No, I honestly, like, I just feel like, gosh, this is one darn good hockey club.
It is, and they're getting depth scoring from everybody.
Yeah.
That Dan Girardi, man, He looked like Forward out there, didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. Whoa. Well, I mean.
Well, when you get a pass from Nikita Kucherov, I think it was Nikita Kucherov, you know it's going to be a nicely laid biscuit for you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you do. The replays of these Kucherov assists
yeah.
are sick.
They're almost better than the actual goal
it's
and the
like,
puck going
how
in.
How did he, you know, the one he fed Johnson, it's yeah. like, where, how... What? Does he have a drone flying that feeds into his helmet somehow or his beard? Because this guy seriously has some unreal vision when he is on the ice.
He's a that's a professional hockey player for you.
I mean, he is just on.
He's so good at anticipating the next move. And
it's like he knows what these guys are going to do before they know.
You mean the opposition?
No,
our guys.
Yeah.
Well... I mean, they've been together for a long time, and that's one of the best things about this team and how, you know, right now we're not talking about any new pieces as of the trade deadline, and mm-hmm. we were one of the two teams that didn't do anything that's in the top of the league.
And by the way, I don't know if you noticed this, but the Lightning still got A's from everybody.
I know. It was funny. I was listening to NHL radio, like, on the way home at the end of
Monday,
because I'd been like an ostrich, my head buried in the sand, because I'm like, if something weird goes on, yeah. it's going to ruin my whole day, and I just need to be able to focus. And I get in the car, and they're like, well, we think Nashville had a good day, and we think, oh, gosh, what was the other team that they said did well? Gosh.
Columbus.
They're like, well, Columbus made a lot of moves. They put all their chips in the middle of the table. And Nashville, they definitely helped themselves with the addition of Wayne Simmons and a couple other guys. And, you know, the Lightning, they didn't do anything, but they still had a great day. And I'm like, all right, cool. No, I mean,
I know.
I think everybody agrees. There is a chemistry on this team. And even Miss Sonya Bryson-Kirksey alluded to it. They have all the pieces. They mm-hmm. have the great mix. Why mess with it? There is no reason to mess with it.
No. And I'll be honest. When we got the media alert last Monday, I think it was 2 o'clock or something. I'm not sure. And it says, Julien Brisebois to meet with the media at 5:30. And I'm like, oh, no, 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 no.
Yeah, what last minute deal
That's
got done?
Exactly what I was thinking. Like, no, yeah. no, 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 no. And then, you know, it was for him to say, yeah, didn't do anything. And I was like, oh.
The quickest press conference
But I
ever.
Loved what he said. And I the players talked about every one of them that night, talked about after the game, like, they believe in us. We believe in us. You know, our fan, you know, we all believe, we are confident, you know, our front office is confident. Yeah, we can sleep a little easier because you still, you know, it's yeah. a concern, but to, you know, it's a deep season. It's a long season.
Long season.
We're getting into the dog days of it.
Mm.
Everybody, you know, there are at least 7, 8, 9 other teams, at least in our conference, that are, you know, peeking over the fence, waiting for, you know, something to happen on the Lightning. And they just were told, now we're good.
Yeah, it was like... no, hold my purse. We're good.
Right?
Thanks.
But I felt like it was just like I was watching other people on Twitter like, really? The Lightning aren't going to do anything? Like, that's just rubbing it in.
I mean, I think the last couple days have shown why we didn't need to do anything at the trade deadline.
Yeah, so I was, I was very excited
yeah.
that nothing happened. And you have to kind of just believe, you know, trust the front office. They know what they're doing. If something were to happen. I mean, we know it's not going to be a Stamkos or a Vasilevsky or a Hedman.
Right,
we know
but
that,
I mean, there are some pieces, you know.
That we wouldn't like to see go.
No, but I do think that I don't know enough about the players that went to Columbus to really have an opinion other than what I've heard from the talking heads on television.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, because Nashville is a heavy team,
yeah.
that the addition of Wayne Simmons... It's a little concerning to me to yeah. that team because they're already a heavy, hard team to play.
They are. Well, you know what's really weird?
Mm.
It's not a great season for Nashville.
Yeah, and they're $50 hats.
They're $50 hats. it's not a great season for them.
Right.
But they really give it to the Lightning.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. So
in Minnesota, I don't know. I don't understand the Minnesota thing.
Did you see the press conference, the Tortorella press conference?
No.
Oh, we'll retweet it out so everybody can see it. He played a little joke on the press.
Good.
He was having a little fun. Not something we're normal from Coach John Tortorella, having a little fun with the press, making a little joke. But yeah, they did a lot at the trade deadline. So they're really kind of putting all their eggs in one basket and really kind of trying to make a push for this.
And it's crazy out there in the streets. I mean, maybe not one.
Crazy out there in the streets.
Yeah.
What is this, West Side Story?
It is.
The Sharks and the Jets?
the Bolts versus everyone else.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from, you know, where the Lightning currently are, it's a dogfight out there.
Yeah, no, teams are really starting to heat up, and you're really kind of seeing the separation a little bit more.
Well.
Somewhat.
But it's crazy. You know, you look at the, especially, we'll say, 6 through 10.
Yeah.
There are 4 or 5 teams that you just don't know who's going to be in and who's going to be out, because it's every day it's almost like, oh, it changed again, because it's so tight at the bottom.
Yeah.
And that wild card race in the East and the West is really tight over there, too. So this is going to be a really interesting
to see where everything lands
last month of the season, I think.
You know what's nice, though? Is that we're not one of those teams.
No.
And we're like, oh, well, if this person wins and this person wins and this team loses, then we might have a chance of getting in. Like, we've been there. We've done that. We don't want the T-shirt. We're good. We want to.
And I wonder mentally and physically what a toll that takes on the other team.
Oh, I'm sure it takes a toll on the team.
We saw
less pressure. You can really kind of focus on the details, which I think is what we're seeing in their play right now. Even though they might, you know, give up a couple goals here and there, they're able to focus on the details and maybe, you know, try out some things, maybe, you know, experiment a little bit with line combinations and maybe the way they do things, their power play, their penalty kill. I mean, nothing's really broken. So I hope they're not trying to experiment too much, but it gives them some breathing room.
Yeah.
To be able to work things out before it gets to playoff time. Oh, gosh, I can't believe I said that name. Playoff time. But it gives them some time to work out some things before they get to the, you know, whatever that thing is that happens after the end of the season. And that's a luxury. Teams don't have that. They just need to win now.
Yeah,
and we want to win now.
Right.
But, you know, we can try some things.
Well, and yeah, and I've noticed that some, I don't know, Hedman's ice time has gone back up a little.
A little, yeah.
He was around 22, 23.
Right.
And he's back up to like 27.
Well, I think it's all about conditioning, too.
I think it is, too. And I think Cooper's trying to, you know, he does that thing sometimes where they run like really short shifts and you're like, what's going on out there? And I think, like you said, I think this is the time we're starting to see him. Kind of, what can we get away? What can we push here? How far can we try this?
Because where's our sweet spot? Where, you know, what's too much? You know, and just like anybody, you know, conditioning, you know, keeping your ice time down at the early part of the season is always good. That's always what teams want to do. But as it gets closer to the end of the season and maybe you're looking ahead, you're just incrementally increasing that ice time to get them up and used to it. So, you know, and then incrementally increasing, and then maybe right before the end of April or beginning of April, they'll maybe decrease it a little bit to give them a little bit more rest.
Yeah. It's a really, really rough schedule.
Yeah.
And I know you and I talked about it last week or the week before on the show. It's a really tough schedule.
Yeah, that last week or so is
not even that. I mean, look what we just went through.
But just like Tom Mulligan, who we interviewed a couple weeks ago, said, you know, the coaching staff is really in tune to what these players and this team needs. And if that's a day off instead of a practice, that's what they give them. Same goes for ice time. I mean, these guys are these coaches know these players. This training staff know these players and vice versa. These players know their coaches and training staff. So
what a luxury.
I know. I mean, you look at all the moves that were made on Monday and think we didn't have to do any of that. That's just, you know, and it takes a couple weeks. We saw it last year with JT Miller. And, you know, Ryan McDonough was hurt when we got him. So it took him a couple weeks to actually, you know, start playing with us. But, you know, it did take 3 weeks for those guys to start really kind of melding in. And that's 3 weeks that, you know, we're not going to have to watch a couple new guys learn a system and get some chemistry.
Yeah.
We're all steam ahead. Full steam ahead. Okay. All right. So we're going to take a quick break and come back. We're going to break down the last two games that we have seen the Lightning play when we come back with more Game Misconduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
Don't forget to follow us on all social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. We are on location with the magic of technology again. Dory at her home. I am at the Mouse House. So we're going to talk about the last two games that have happened, which were kind of the tale of two games, let's say.
To put it mildly.
The second of a back-to-back in Boston and at home on Saturday versus Ottawa. Let's dive into that Boston game. Dory, thoughts?
I was rather nervous about the Boston game.
We're always nervous about a Boston game. Let's be real.
Exactly. And the Lightning have done really well against them in the last, year and a half, something like that. But this Boston team was coming in very hot. And I think that's what made me nervous. I think if it were at home, and I don't differentiate when they're on the road or at home, just because the Lightning are just so good either places. But I would have felt a little bit better if they were at home. But I was really very nervous all day about that game. And they looked, to me, in my opinion, they looked very tired. They almost looked, I don't want to say disinterested. I said earlier, to you right after the game, they looked disinterested. But I don't think that's the word. It was almost like they were just out of it. I don't know. They just looked lackluster, slightly lethargic. Like they weren't going after things that they normally do. They seemed to get confused. I don't know. What are your takes on it?
I think it was more of our guys were tired and Boston really fed off of the last couple goals to really kind mm-hmm. of catapult them. And we just ended up running out of time in the game. So I think it was a combination of our guys maybe being a little tired, a little worn out. And then their guys, you know, knowing what happened last year in the playoffs, you know, wanting to really kind of, you know, we always say it's a statement game whenever teams play the Lightning because they are so good this season. But I think mm-hmm. it was more than that. It was a real big statement game to kind of for the Boston Bruins to really show that they should be in the playoffs and they are a good team. And, you know, they really kind of took it to them in the last period for sure.
Yeah, I definitely think that was, you know, and, you know, here's the thing. It's easy for the Lightning not to have a stellar game because we're so used to them to go, oh, they look tired. They look, like I said, lackluster, you know, definitely you had, it was towards the end, obviously, like they were ahead. And then it was like, they just didn't have the fight in them in a way to come back. And I'll be honest, I give a lot of credit to Boston. And that night for 40 minutes, they were the better team. The better team won the game that night. Do I think they're a better team than the Lightning? No, of course not. But I think on that night, just, you know, the way it played out, they were the better team. They played them really hard.
Yeah.
And they did want to, I think, make a statement like, yeah, okay, they might be the best team in the NHL, but we're not bad either. They just had a lot of fire in them. And yeah. I didn't. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And it was a little bit of a physical game too. I mean, Zdeno Chara is not one to, you know, kind of, what's the word, instigate these days, but he was fired up, and you know, that team, they feed off of that when Big Z is fired up and, and, you know, fighting back. So that was a factor too.
Yeah.
So then let's talk about Saturday against Ottawa. Our defense are a bunch of forwards all of a sudden.
Yeah, I think I read on NHL.com that it's the first game. It's the first game. I'm not sure in how long that the defenseman scored 9 points on one team in one game.
It's crazy. I mean, we know our defensemen have wicked shots, but you know, they don't always get through. They've got a long way to go.
Yeah.
Or, you know, our defensemen are really good, and, you know, they're always trying to defend, and, you know, they do get up in the play every once in a while. I think we've seen it a little bit more often lately here. There have been a couple of Girardi goals, that one feed he got off of Kucherov, I think it was last week. But, you know, for the most part, they're for the most part, they're stay-at-home defensemen. I mean, they do get up in the play a little bit, but it's not often.
Right.
So to have 9 points from the defense in one game is crazy. But I love it because you know how we talk about depth scoring, and that's what like sets teams apart from other teams. And normally we're talking about depth scoring with the forwards.
Right.
Now we've got depth scoring with the defensemen.
Yeah. And let's, to qualify it, and you know, every team in the NHL is good, of course, but Ottawa's really, really struggling this year. They just let go of Guy Boucher. You know, I think it's Mark Crawford stepped in. I might be wrong. They're not having a great season. But the defensemen scoring a lot was because we were controlling the puck in our own offensive zone. I don't think they do it in hockey because I think it'd be too hard. But if they had like a possession chart like they do in football, I mean, we just had control of the puck the whole game. And it was very much, you know, the reason that the defense did as well as they and scored as much as they did is a lot of our offense,
right?
Keeping control of the puck, you know, winning the faceoffs, winning the puck battles that allowed the defense to open up and take those shots. So it was just such an overall well played game.
Yeah.
And you know, just a complete game from the Lightning. And to go from, you know, boss, and you know that game hurt them. You know they were not happy with that outcome. And you saw it in Ottawa, like, okay, you know what? Wipe, it's gone. We move forward, and then the Ottawa game happened. Yes, Ottawa's not a good team this year. But it doesn't matter. They're still professional hockey players. They still know they're still talented hockey players.
Well, and I have a feeling a lot of those Ottawa guys are kind of trying to play for a job too. I mean, you have a lot.
Probably.
Of, you know, you let go your coach, you know, you never know what else could be let go. So they have a stake in trying to win that game too. And just because they're having a rough time at it, they still want to try to beat the best team in the league and have a good showing.
Yeah. You know, and they.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say it after the game. All of the Senators were saying, listen, there's a reason they're the best team in the league.
Right.
And we saw it tonight. And I think one of the players said, you know, talking about the Lightning being the best team. And he you know, when he was saying, you know, and you saw it and, you know, sometimes you just can't compete with that. You just can't. And everything they did was just, you know, we were confused out there. Mm-hmm. We didn't have an answer for most of the game. And the Lightning, and his final words, which I know CT, you're not going to be happy, was this is a team that's going to go really deep in the playoffs.
Oh boy.
I mean, we hope, but that's coming from a peer. That's coming from an opponent.
Right.
That's looking at this team kind of like, you know, we do sometimes when they're on, they are on, and they were on Saturday night.
Well, that game Saturday night maybe should be a reason maybe why there should be a mercy rule. I'm not really sure. It wasn't like it was a blowout 10-1, but it sure felt like it.
It did.
So, you know, interesting dichotomy at the end of last week to to see the difference in the team and how they play when they're playing well and how they play when they are not playing well or might be tired. So hopefully the team can address what happened. It seems like they did against Ottawa, but with that travel, maybe figure out what it was that made them look so lackluster and maybe nip that in the bud before we get to April. All right, that's all we have time for this week. Follow us on social media at Game Miz with the Z Conduct, and we will catch you next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.